Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. This is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. And this week on the show, we are devoting the hour to featuring places to shop during the holiday season, places where you can find the perfectly unique gift for anyone on your list. It's been 30 years since Helen Whittemore passed away, but her namesake store still stands, and the craft shop movement that she inspired in the U.S. lives on. The store is nestled in the heart of historic German village with its brick-lined streets, and once was Whittemore's home, a gathering hub for artists, some of whom would go on to national acclaim. What started as a simple hospitality and an appreciation of artisans grew into a popular and well-loved retail business. During the holidays, it becomes even more popular, offering up a carefully curated mixture of pottery, jewelry, home goods, decorative items, and more. Joining us now is Julie Jenkins, co-owner of Helen Whittemore's. Welcome to All Sides, Julie.
Thank you very much, Amy. I'm glad to be here.
So your store's namesake, Helen Whittemore, has been called the founder of the U.S. craft shop movement. Why is that?
Well, because she was one of the first to, and probably the first, to open a brick and mortar where she was selling the arts and crafts of friends of hers. Mm-hmm. And then she, so it was very early on that she started this. She actually started her shop in her home in Grandview. And she, it was called the afternoon shop, and she would have people come over and talk
in the afternoon.
They would have tea, and she would have dressers that she opened up with goods from friends of hers that had made. And then that's where it all started in 1938.
Wow. So how did you get involved? How did you become one of the co-owners of Helen Whittemore?
Sure. So they're actually only Helen and then her longtime manager, Jack, owned the shop for a year. And Sarah Kellenberger then bought the shop and she was there for 22 years. Mm. Sarah was an amazing caretaker of the shop and in 2020 decided that she wanted to move to the next chapter of her life and put the shop up for sale. I had had a shop in Upper Arlington for about 7 years and similar shop selling American handmade items. And my brother and I decided, let's see if we could maybe become the next caretakers of Helen Whittemore's. And so that's how it happened.
So basically it was for sale and you were interested.
Exactly.
And okay.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned that you got interested in this in the year 2020. That's an interesting time to buy a shop, right?
Sure was. We were talking with Sarah before the pandemic actually hit. But we decided to go ahead. It was kind of a leap of faith. In June of 2020, we ended up as the caretakers. And it was an interesting time. For the first year, we were actually open only by appointment. Mm. But that was, it was good, made a nice ramp up for us because it was a lot to take on.
You kind of eased into it then?
We did.
Okay.
Totally.
So tell me about where you source your goods. Ohio, other places, how do you find what you put in there?
Sure. We have about 150 artists from all over the United States, a few Canadian artists as well. And one of our biggest artists is actually from Germany. It's a nativity set. And that has actually been one of the artists that Helen brought in probably in the 1950s. So we have longtime artists. We now source a lot of our works through online marketplaces. Mm-hmm. We have gone to trade shows and we have people come in off the street and say, this is what I make. Would you like to sell it? Mm-hmm. And so it's a wide variety of places. John and I are also big shoppers. And so we go when we're shopping and we're traveling and we might find new artists that way as well.
John is your brother.
John is my brother.
And the co-owner.
And the co-owner, okay. Yes.
Got
thank
it.
You.
And so What would you say is the most popular item in your store? Is it the jewelry? Is it, I mean, can you pick a most popular item?
If I were to categorize, it would probably be the jewelry. Mm-hmm. The creche pieces, the nativity pieces I mentioned, are very popular this mm-hmm. time of year. People might come in and buy a stable and a Mary and Joseph, the baby, and an angel of 1 year, and then come back year after year and add to their collections. Mm-hmm. Another very popular item are called spirit tiles by an artist mm-hmm. whose name is Houston Liu, and they are really interesting blocks of wood that have copper and then glass on them that make a picture, and those are very unique and beautiful pieces as well.
This is Fascinating Ohio from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about some holiday shopping with Helen Whinnemore's co-owner, Julie Jenkins. So is your store a place where your store is known as a place where people can find something unique, you know, a gift for anybody? Do people come in and just browse, or do people come in with something special in mind most of the time?
Both happen. Actually, we have a shop dog whose name is Maddie, is mm-hmm. my puppy dog. And some people come in just to see Maddie.
Of course.
And people do come in just to wander around and look at the beautiful works that we have for sale. But there are people that come in and say, oh, I need a greeting card. We have great greeting cards. So and so they'll come in and look for a greeting card or a special piece of jewelry. Or at this time of year, we have a lot of Christmas ornaments, and there's just a lot to choose from, all price points, and so people come in.
One of my coworkers described your shop as the place where if you don't know what to buy for someone, you can find it there.
That's a great way to describe us.
Because you don't know what you need, but when you see it, it makes you think of
exactly,
the person.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yes.
So you working there, do you ever have people come into the store and describe their hard to shop friend or family member ask for your help?
Of course. And there are five of us that work at the shop, and everybody knows how to help people. That's one of our, we really do try to be helpful to the people who come in who, and a lot of times it's men who are like, I just don't know what to get for my wife or for my partner or whatever. And so we do a lot of help that way.
What do you ask them questions like, what's their favorite color? What's their favorite animal?
Absolutely. What do they like? What sort of, those types of questions.
And then they
say
red and birds. And then they're like, let me show you this cardinal.
Well, exactly. And because Ohio's bird is the cardinal, we have a lot of cardinal mm-hmm. items, yes.
Yeah. So your website features a lot. People can shop online.
Yes.
Is everything that's in your store on your website?
Not quite everything, but like I mentioned, we have about 150 artists, and about 80 of them are on our mm-hmm. on our website. But we also encourage people to just call, and we can talk through on the telephone and do an online or on phone purchase as well if somebody is looking for something special.
Do you have people who come back year after year or call you and say, do you have this before
yes.
I come down?
Yes, yeah. We do. All the time.
So is your store a destination store, or are most people shopping there live right around and it's foot traffic store?
Both. Mm-hmm. Because we have some long-term artists like the creche, Lottie Sievers-Hahn is the name of the mm-hmm. creche maker. And so people come in, especially at this time of year, to pick up their new piece. Mm-hmm. But we do have German Village is a lovely place for people to come when they visit Columbus. And it's one of the highest destinations for people who are visiting Columbus to come down to German Village. And so we get a lot of foot traffic that way. And then there's people from the neighborhood, too.
How does it feel to be a tourist destination? People are visiting the book loft, and then they're getting a coffee, and then they're coming to you.
Yes. It's actually great because we get to tell them all about the shop and about the history of the shop. And there, most people are very excited to be there because it's just a beautiful store, mm-hmm. and it's fun to look around. Mm-hmm. And it can take a lot of time.
Yes. So it's for people who love the art of shopping, right?
That's very, very true. That's
a not a quick way to put it. I like not that. A quick in and out, right? Yeah, and we're not talking Target here.
Not,
you know?
not usually, unless they are coming in for a card or coming in mm-hmm. for a quick gift, and they've been there before, so they know
and know
what
exactly what
for.
They want. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Your website also features photos and bios of some of the artists that you feature.
Yes.
Why is that important to you? That you want people to know about the artists?
We totally want people to know about the artists. We feel a connection with these artists, and we want others to know about how the hand created items are made. And so it's very important for us to have that connection.
Do you have, do you tell people about the artists in the store? Like, if they ask you, then you're like, oh, let me tell you a story. Do you know, like,
Absolutely.
About all of them?
Okay. We have a little book that tells mm-hmm. about all the artists. Mm-hmm. And so everybody who works there needs to know about the different artists. And many artists provide a card that tells about them, how they would like to be known. And so if we have a card from an artist, we will include that with the product that the person has purchased.
Talk to me about running a business. I'm sure the holiday is a busy time of year, but how hard is it to keep a small business up and running in this economy?
Well, I think we're really blessed because of the longevity of Helen Winnemore's, and because it's been such a staple and an icon in Columbus for so long that we're really blessed that continues. Mm-hmm. And our location is terrific mm-hmm. as well. There are challenges, of course, just through the pandemic, and but we're holding strong, and it's really and we're in an old building that is mm-hmm. sometimes
challenging.
But
I'm sure the holiday season is your busy season.
It is.
Do you have a
it
downtime is. Or is it because you're like kind of a destination as a part of the German Village destination? Are you always busy?
It's certainly more busy. November and December mm-hmm. is our busiest time.
Yeah.
There are slower periods during the year, but because we are a destination for gifts, Mother's Day is a big day. Mm. Valentine's Day is a big day. And then weddings. Mm. Weddings, people come and buy wedding gifts from us. So, Yeah, it's good.
Talk to me about the holiday season. Does the store have any special plans, special sales, special events?
The biggest event coming up is next Sunday night. It's called Village Lights, which you probably know about. It's an all German Village event, and it's from 5 to 9, and we will be open until 8 o'clock that night. And we will be providing small bags of popcorn for anybody who comes in. There's always a line outside, and we limit the number of people who come in because it is
it's a breakable store.
it's a breakable store in small, tight alleyways through. But it's really a fun evening in German Village. So I recommend anybody wants to come down and take a look and stop by Helen Winnemore's. It would be great.
And most things in German Village are kind of landlocked. Do you see the store expanding ever?
I don't think expanding from a brick and mortar viewpoint is, I don't, at least we're not looking to do that. I can see the online store expanding. As I mentioned, we have about half of our artists online, so we have room to grow there.
And now Helen Winnemore may have invented the craft store movement, but it's really caught on in Columbus, especially in the past few decades.
Yes.
What makes Helen Winnemore so unique that you still are in business and doing a good business in a town chock full of craft stores?
That's a really good question. It's I think it's partly the longevity and the heritage of Helen Winnemore's is part of it. And we're always trying to keep it fresh and new and bring in new artists and continue with existing artists and their new works and bringing just beauty and functionality to everyday living.
Why do you think art makes a good gift?
I think anyone who receives a piece of art is probably interested in who made it, and especially if the receiver is not an artist themselves, mm-hmm. at least I like to get something and look at it and say, wow, think about how this person did this and made this. And I think that there are people that, and it's always fun to give that type of thing mm-hmm. as well.
We have been talking about holiday shopping with Helen Winnemore's co-owner, Julie Jenkins. Julie, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Amy.
And coming up, we're going to talk about the Golden Hobby Gift Shop. It's a nonprofit senior arts and consignment shop. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
With recent federal funding cuts to the National Institute of Health and the National Science Foundation, researchers and scientists have been left in a precarious position. Stay in the U.S. with less access to money or leave? Europe is already courting American scientists. Could a potential brain drain be coming to the U.S.? And what does that mean for future research at America's colleges and universities? That's tomorrow on All Sides with Amy Jurevich from 10 to noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from Prototype, the experimental museum, designed for curious adults, much like NPR listeners. Prototype is a museum experience built to iterate the unexpected that allows guests to explore ways to interact with art, technology, and immersive media. Learn more at prototype.org.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. This week for the show, we're featuring some places around town to get unique holiday gifts for everyone on your list. Back in January, the Columbus Recreation and Parks Department opened the Fran Ryan Center, described as a creative arts and wellness hub. It offers countless opportunities for people of all ages to let their creative minds loose. But today, we're going to talk about one specific aspect of the center, the Golden Hobby Gift Shop. The shop has seen a lot in its 50-year history, but it is putting down roots in the Fran Ryan Center, selling home decor, kitchen supplies, art, and more, all provided by local artists. And if you're looking for a gift for someone who loves handcrafted art, the Golden Hobby Gift Shop may be your place to go. Joining us now is Andrea O'Neill, president of the shop's Board of Trustees. Welcome to All Sides, Andrea.
Thank you.
And also with us, we have Maria Kozalek, part-time employee at the shop. Welcome to All Sides, Maria.
Thank you.
So from what I've heard, much of the shop's inventory is composed of goods handcrafted by seniors. How did that become the mission, Andrea?
It is all handcrafted
all
by
handcrafted,
seniors.
Yes.
That's right. It started, and I might have Maria chime in because she has a very interesting history behind this as well. In 1971, and I'm actually going to toss it to Maria because I think the history is really fun. That's
all right.
Connection.
Take us back.
The program started in 1971 when Mel Dodge was the director of Columbus Recreation and Parks. And it was a program from McDowell Senior Center where they sold holiday crafts every Christmas season. And they decided they wanted to try to do this year-round. So they got a grant from the Columbus Foundation. And with help from the department, Columbus Recreation and Parks, they were given space to open a shop year-round. And it was in 1971. And the space was originally located on East Broad Street and then relocated in the early 80s, which is when my mother-in-law was managed the program, Maggie Kozalek. And she managed the program and helped them write a 501c3 for the board so they could run their program and be able to run the program efficiently with the goal of really engaging seniors into the program because we have right now we have just under 400 consigners, many of them volunteer in the shop. And you know, it is as much about them being engaged in the program as it is for them to sell their goods and make extra money.
400 different.
Yes.
Are you managing that many people bringing stuff in and out?
Yes.
It's been interesting. When we moved, we were temporarily on Franklin Avenue while they were building the building. Hmm. And we had, when we moved to the building January 8th of mm-hmm. this year, 242 consigners, and we're just under 400. So a 60% increase. Mm-hmm. And yes, we have a beautiful 5,000 square feet. We make it work. We take pretty much anything as long as it's not copyrighted, trademarked. It has to be handmade. Mm-hmm. And we make it work. It's really a lovely shop. We get a lot of compliments about how it's laid out and styled and very shoppable.
Yeah. And Maria, you just mentioned the shop has relocated twice in the last 5 years. How did the Fran Ryan Center end up as a home for it?
The Fran Ryan Center was built for older adults. Fran herself has always been a champion of seniors, working for the Carter administration as mm-hmm. well in the city of Columbus to champion seniors and make sure that they are taken care of with wellness and opportunity. And so it really, when the building was being opened, it was designed as an arts facility, arts and health facility for older adults. So the Golden Hobby Gift Shop was just a natural fit. We are one of the largest programs in the city that supports seniors and engages seniors. So,
okay, so you're a nonprofit, but then you're also a part of Columbus Recreation and Parks.
So interesting. We have a private public partnership with the city. You know, it began as a program of the city, and then when we became a 501c3, pretty much it is run by volunteers primarily. There are three part-time city employees who kind of oversee the daily operation, but everything else is done by volunteers. And so moving into the Fran Ryan Center, we created, in partnership with the city, this private-public partnership. And I think it's just a wonderful win-win for both. The city provides this beautiful space for us, some part-time employees. And then it's they're able to support senior programming. And so we're providing that support to them as well. So I think it's a wonderful win-win.
And the 400 artists who you have who contribute work, so if the piece sells, does the artist get some money and the shop get some money?
Absolutely. And it's the best deal anywhere. The consigner names their price, and then they get 80% of that price. We keep only 20%.
Oh, wow. That seems like a good deal.
Yeah.
This is Fascinating Ohio from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And we're talking about the Golden Hobby Gift Shop with Andrea O'Neill and Maria Kozelik. So tell me about things that are in the store. For someone who hasn't been there, describe the different types of pieces. Maria, do you want to start with that?
Sure.
It's undescribable. I know.
So I think a lot of people remember us from German Village, where we had several stories and many rooms and baskets full of things. We are not that shop anymore. Mm. We have elevated our style. And Fran Ryan actually calls us a boutique. Yep. And, you know, we have everything from your scrubby and your dishcloth that has been handmade or hand crocheted to fine art pieces that, I've been able to decorate my home with some beautiful pieces from the shop, as well as we have like live edge furniture. And I mean, you can buy a live edge table at our shop for like $200, and it's all been handmade by a lovely gentleman who volunteers in the shop every week. I mean, it's, you know, and to meet artists or learn about their stories, I think is one of the most special things about our shop.
And we have a range from home goods, wearables.
She's pointing to the sweater she's wearing.
I just bought it Monday at the shop.
Yeah. Home decor, and of course, a lot of holiday items that are in the shop right now. So we always have seasonal items coming and going.
Yeah. And Maria, I can guess how you got involved because you seem to have a family history, but is that how you ended up working at the shop?
So I've been working in Columbus Recreation and Parks for over 20 years. I was part-time at Whetstone Community Center for most of that time. 4 years ago, the shop had an opening, and I, in my a friend and my mother-in-law's dear friend, Linda Lorenz, who's the other manager there with me. She and I, she said, oh gosh, you know, and I was like, Linda, I can come and help out. And then I just never left. So that's kind of how that happened. And it, and I love it. It is the best job in the world. I mean, to work with all these talented people and to get to know them and know their stories is wonderful.
How did you get involved in it, Andrea?
I was a shopper at the gift shop in the 70s. I remember buying something for my son when I was pregnant with my first son in the 80s. So I was a shopper there. And I had done, I work in fiber, and I had done some knitting when I was very young. And then, of course, career and family. And I always thought, well, I'm going to look into that when I retire. And that's exactly what I did. So I retired in 2010, 2011, went to the shop, found out how it all worked, got involved. And it's as Maria said, it's just a wonderful experience. And a lot of it is about the community. A lot of it is about the socialization, the mental health that it provides to the seniors, for that community, for creating, for learning new skills as they volunteer in the shop, learn technology. So it's a whole host of things. It just is a wonderful place to be, yeah.
Maria, do you manage the volunteers, too, who are coming in and working there?
Yes. I mean, it's a team effort. I mean, I will say that, I mean, our board is very involved. And between the board and my co-manager, Linda, and then Francis, who's also part-time, you know, we kind of tag team. And, you know, we have a volunteer schedule and we reach out to them. And, you know, we try, if somebody misses a spot, we make sure to call and see if they're okay. I mean, it is definitely a very supportive community.
And Maria, do people come into the shop looking for something in particular? Do they just browse? Do you see both?
We see both. We have longtime shoppers that that come in and they're like, oh, I need to get scrubbies for stockings this year. Or, you know, I need, you know, or they're looking for gifts or decor. And we also have, I mean, the Fran Ryan has given us with the Fran Ryan Center's very busy, so we tend to get a lot of traffic from what they're doing, and people are just pleasantly surprised when they walk in because it is so beautiful. And Andrea styles the shop, Andrea and Jenny, and it is a beautiful store, and they do a great job.
Are your hours the same as what the Fran Ryan Center's hours are then?
Are not.
Oh.
We are open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
10 a.m. to 4 Saturday, Friday and Saturday.
Okay. And when people come into the shop, Maria, and are they looking for a gift for a particular person? Do you ever help people shop? They come in and they describe someone and then you're like going around with them.
We love to help people shop. And we have volunteers and that is one of the things, they love to come in and work at the front desk so they can help people find that perfect gift or that, you know, unexpected gift that, you know, they didn't know they were going to buy. So, we definitely love the personal shopping experience. We do have our sip and shop tomorrow night, 4 to 8.
Tell me more about that. A holiday sip and shop.
We have been doing this for 4 years now, and it is the admission is $1, and there is wine, and there are snacks, and we have volunteers that will help you shop and get your Christmas list taken care of.
Can you tell me, Andrea, about encouraging seniors to create art that the store sells? I can imagine that someone made like, oh, here's five things I made, and then they all sell out. How do you encourage the seniors to keep making, be involved, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So it's over the years, everyone has a limit, so you can't just put any number of items in. Excuse me. And interestingly, what a lot of our consigners have done in order to have more product in the store is find other ways to create, other things to make, exploring other mediums and taking classes at the Fran Ryan Center, learning a new medium and then getting that item into the store. I think all the consigners just naturally, this is what they love to do. Mm-hmm. It's called the hobby shop because it started as a hobby. They don't really do it for a full-time living. It helps with senior income, but it's just a love of hobbies. And so we don't really need to encourage people. Mm-hmm. They love making.
Maria, can you tell me some, not that I'm going to make you pick a favorite, but maybe just some of your favorite items that are in the store right now?
Well, there's a distinct disadvantage of working at the store because mm-hmm. sometimes things come in and before they even hit the floor, they go in my purse.
She's right talking about the sweater. She's like, I wanted that black and white sweater
jewelry,
and it's mine.
And my jewelry, the jacket she's wearing.
Yeah.
So it is hard to pick a favorite, but I will say that our greeting cards are one of my favorite things because much of them are under $5, and you can get an original watercolor greeting card that is just beautifully done to send out for Christmas. And you cannot get that at a Hallmark or, you know, I know people do a lot of prints getting an original watercolor, a lot of my family, they frame them and keep them because they are so beautiful. So the greeting cards is definitely something I love. And then I also make jewelry and consign at the shop. So, of course, I love the jewelry. And I think we have everything from your general earrings with charms to, you know, handcrafted high-end silver jewelry and pieces. I mean, we really, when we say we have something for everyone, we really, truly do.
Do you have favorite items too?
Probably the jewelry. I have purchased a lot of jewelry at that store. And I would say also some of the fine art. We really have some unusual pieces. Again, so reasonably priced. So I would say the fine art.
How do you decide to set the prices? Do you work with the senior artist?
No. The artist determines that themselves. And again, they get 80% of that price.
Yeah. Do you ever tell them like, this might be worth a little bit more?
we do.
Occasionally. So yeah. I encourage them to walk around the shop and look at similar items to try to get the price range so that they have a good feel for where their item might land.
Andrea, can you talk to me about the therapeutic aspect for the seniors involved about handcrafting art and being involved in a shop like this?
Yeah, and I think there are studies out there that support the value and the benefit of art and creating for seniors in particular, to keep their mind active, to keep their hands active. So it's not just the creating part, but it's also the community part. And I think that's what really sets us apart. Mm. They're just not making it in their home and taking it to a shop and dropping it off, and then they might get a check. But it's coming into the shop and seeing their friends when they bring their items in and having those conversations, and again, volunteering. They have fun. That social aspect keeps them healthy, keeps them young.
Are your 400 people who bring in stuff from all over the city?
They're from Central Ohio.
Okay. Yeah. And just to end on, Maria, why do you think handcrafted art makes a good gift?
I think because every piece has a story. You know, we have veterans that make pieces, and their stories about how they fought in Vietnam. And now, I mean, one of them is teaching at the center. And, you know, and it's just every piece that he makes has a story, and he has a story. And I love sharing those stories with our customers because it makes the piece really meaningful.
Andrea, why do you think handcrafted art makes a good gift?
Well, good response, Maria. you know, I think that people know the love that goes into it, particularly if you're giving it and you're telling that person that it was handcrafted by someone. And it just immediately, you can sense the energy in it almost. And it's oftentimes a keepsake that gets passed down as well.
And for people who haven't been to your new location, just, you know, briefly, It's bigger and better. I mean, this was a good move for you, right? Moving a bunch of times is not ideal, but this is the ideal move. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is home.
Yeah. This is going to be home for a long time.
Yes. Correct.
Okay. And how big did you say it is now?
It's 5,000 square feet.
That's pretty
just our space.
That's
just
substantial.
Our shopping space.
Yeah. Right. All right. And do you have any other events coming up besides the holiday sip and shop?
The Holiday Sip and Shop is Friday night, 4 to 8. And mm-hmm. then on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Fram Ryan Center is having a holiday hoopla,
which is
where there will be crafts and craft stations and art stations for people to make and takes.
All right. We have been talking with Andrea O'Neill, president of the Golden Hobby Gift Shops Board of Trustees. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
And we've been talking with Maria Kozulik, part-time employee of the shop. Thank you for being here, Maria.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
And coming up, we're going to talk about Clintonville's Little Light Collective. That's when Fascinating Ohio continues from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This is Fascinating Ohio, a show from All Sides where we introduce you to people from the Buckeye State with an interesting story to tell. This week, we are featuring three places that are stores where you can find a unique gift for anyone on your shopping list. In our last segment of the holiday edition of Fascinating Ohio, we're going to be talking about a store that's much newer to the Columbus art scene than our last two topics, Clintonville's Little Light Collective. Over the last 5 years, dozens of vendors have been able to sell their vintage wares, and countless others have been able to connect with other art enthusiasts through the store's community events. Joining us to discuss more is April Rhodes, Little Light Collective's owner and curator. Welcome to All Sides, April.
Thanks, Amy. I'm so excited to be here. I love your show. So.
thank you for being here. All right. So what inspired you to create Little Light Collective?
It's a bit of a long and twisted tale, honestly. But before the Little Light Collective, I was a fabric designer. And even before that, I grew up in a family with like lots of vintage and antiques surrounding us. But I wanted to open my own store. I helped my mom open a store. She owned So to Speak, and it was in Clintonville originally and then moved to Worthington. But watching her do that, I really wanted my own little piece of that. And I started dreaming and scheming about 5 years before I actually opened the store.
I love So to Speak. Yeah. My daughter took a class there before.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So that was my mom's store, my mom, Anita.
So you're a vintage co-op with more than 35 vendors.
Yes.
Is that how did you decide to become a co-op? Like you can run a store a million different ways.
Yes.
Why a co-op?
Yeah. Well, as a fabric designer, I worked really remotely. I was always on my computer and alone. And my favorite part of that career was when I was prepping for shows, trade shows, and exhibiting my work. And I would be surrounded by other women doing the same thing or having similar interests and passion. And so I knew I didn't want to go out on my own. I wanted to involve other people with shared interests. And together, I think we bring something a lot more fun. Like no one person can get burnt out. There's other people around to sustain it if you get bored.
Why did you call it Little Light Collective?
Well, the name came from the protest song, actually, This Little Light of Mine. We opened in 2020, and I definitely sell lamps and lights and such, but the name has quite a bit more meaning to me than that. It's it's about shining your light on your neighborhood. I live right around the corner from the shop, actually, and the strip in where I am, just a few doors down from Studio 35, on Indianola. It's dear to me. I walk my kids there. I have three, and they all grew up in that neighborhood, and Yeah, I wanted to shine light. A lot of things weren't surviving in the area. Mm. Like shops were closing. Actually, that's how I got my storefront is because...
Something else closed.
Yeah, something else closed because of the pandemic. And I opened shortly after like things were, you know, people were coming out back out into the world and things were reopening. And it just felt really fitting, that name.
I was going to say 2020 is an interesting time to decide to open a store.
A little bit of a crazy time to open a store, yeah.
What? So did you open for like just appointment only shopping at first?
Or? Well, no, we opened to the public, but I was very... very strict with rules. We have booth renters, so it's set up a lot like a traditional antique mall where you have different sections and every section is a different vendor's things and they curate it from top to bottom. But I only allowed one person per section to come into the store. So nobody, it was like they're 10 by 10 areas. Mm-hmm. So only one person would be allowed in a booth space at a time. Everybody had to have masks on. Everybody was sanitizing their hands at the door. And we had a chain that we put up when the shop was at max capacity, which was 13 people.
Oh, man.
We would allow 13 people in the shop at a time.
Well, now that we're past that, and we're in a more normal-ish, I'll use normal in air quotes. Do vendors, so you have more than 35 vendors, do vendors come and go a lot or do you have people who have been there with you forever?
Oh, you mean as far as, I was thinking that in a different way. Like, do they pop in and out of the shop a lot?
Oh,
they do.
Yeah.
But no, I've had the same group of girls, almost entirely the same core ladies since the beginning. We've added some people. We've had a couple that one had, two actually had babies and they since left and other people have come in their place. But I've found ways to add more and more people without losing any of my core group because we are a collective and we're in it together.
I found an article that called you an antiques enthusiast.
That's true.
What draws you to this particular type of item?
I love that items can hold stories and feel nostalgic. And I also, for more economical reasons, like it's much more affordable in general to buy old rather than new. And it's sustainable and things are better made, better quality. A lot of things made now, I feel like consumers are being cheated because everything's being made at its fastest, cheapest, potential. And everything's disposable. So I like things that last.
And you said a majority of what you have in the store is from women. Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We do have a couple guys that I let hang out.
So why do you think that representation of women is important?
Well, for me, it's important because, men take up so much space as it is. I feel like we need our own spaces. But no, I have so many amazing male and other gendered customers. So it's not just for females.
Right.
We sell things for everyone.
But you're leaning in with the vendors of having,
it's a girls' club, the
women-owned business.
Boys
kind of thing.
Have their own clubs. Mm-hmm. We're a girls' club. I feel cozy with that.
This is Fascinating Ohio from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about Little Light Collective with owner April Rhodes. This is the holiday season, so I'm guessing you have a lot of vintage Christmas items.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. Are they flying off the shelves?
They do, yeah. I mean, we have people, so many people that come to us specifically for that, people that just collect vintage ornaments or they want to replace ornaments that maybe broke, like things that remind them of their childhood or things that their grandmother had or, they do sell really well for us, the vintage ornaments. And we carry new as well. I carry a designer line of ornaments that are made to look vintage and they're like goofy items like rotary phones and vintage fridge. I have an ornament that's a lawn chair with the webbing. It's like really miniature and they're really well made. And so we don't just sell old things.
Right. do you have Christmas items and holiday items all year round or do your vendors focus right now?
Yeah. I'm pretty strict on the rules of like keeping it seasonally appropriate. We have a limited amount of space and people want things they can utilize now. So yeah, Christmas is a special time. It doesn't last long. We pack it all up and luckily it doesn't spoil. So we'll
That's
bring
true.
It out again
Antiques
next
are always antique, right?
Yeah.
Have you noticed any specific trends in what customers are looking for in the holiday season? Is there a particular style or like a handmade item compared to previous years? Is everyone looking for something?
Oh, well, every year I order these glass Christmas trees. They look really mid-century and they're real funky and they come in a bright variety of colors from a designer in Valentine, Nebraska. So I've been getting a lot of people in for that reason because they've collected them with me over the last 5 years and they want to add to their Christmas tree collection. But other than that, no. I mean, it's really all across the board. We have people looking for like cozy blankets and sweaters or candles or gifts for girlfriends or boyfriends. Or, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do most people who come into your store know that they're looking for something or is it a lot of browsing?
There's a fair amount of browsing, but we're really open to that. I have customers that we're their place to decompress. They come to us after work just to wander. And that's great. I love that. I love the energy it brings to the space.
Talk to me about finding the perfect holiday gift in your store. I'm sure you have a customer who will come in your store, find an item, and then suddenly tell you this long and involved story about their grandmother and why they're buying it.
That does happen frequently. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Let me think. A story. Well, I know last year I helped a young man find like the perfect little tea set for his girlfriend. That was really satisfying. It was this really whimsical, like handcrafted set of like six cups and a teapot, but I remember it being like lumpy clay, like pink and polka dotted, and he just freaked out. He was like, I've never seen anything like this. She's gonna love it. And she did. They came back later and she shared with me how much she loved it.
You got the follow-up story.
Yeah,
too.
I did, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
From your experience, your store is a place where I'm sure people walk away with an item that they didn't know they needed until they saw it.
Does that happen a lot? Yeah. It happens to me too, even though I'm the owner. Because I have so many other vendors and they have keys to the place, they come in at night and they restock their booths and I arrive and I'm like, oh my God, what is this? Like, I can't live without it.
Yes,
yes. Happens all the time.
Well, and that happens to me often. I can give an example where I had this gravy boat that I had inherited from my grandmother and I loved it and it had a chip in it. And we would use it anyway, even though you shouldn't, because it was my grandma's gravy boat.
Yeah.
And I found the exact same one in the exact same color.
Oh,
and I was like,
gosh.
I didn't know I needed this, but I didn't know I could ever replace it. But now I can get rid of the chipped one that is sketchy and have it, but still have it, right?
Yes, I love that. Yeah, it's the same thing.
So what sort of events, what sorts of events do you host? I know that your collective also likes to do events.
Yeah, we do. So actually just this past weekend, we did some special things for Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. I don't run sales because we are such as, you know, we're little and it's hard to keep up with the big box stores. And being that we have so many vendors, I don't like to put that on their plate. Mm-hmm. So we do giveaways instead. And for Small Business Saturday, we gave away 30 tote bags with just like random funky things that our vendors had kind of donated to the tote bags. But then I also have had like a Valentine party where I had a harpist play. My friend Lily Bloom played the harp in the middle of the store and we had a private concert. I think I'm in the new year actually working with a burlesque organization that's going to put on a performance after hours in the store. I've done private shopping events where I'll like host a party of people. I've done some for like work places, but also just friends and family. Like when they have people from out of town, they want to bring their friends to their favorite place. So I've hosted private shopping and just things like that.
From what I've read, the collective was originally going to be an event space, but you decided to make it a but then you decided to make it a store. Is that right?
Actually, no. Kind of early on, I had thought that we would have more classes and
maybe that's
an event classes being, and events, but with the store being like sort of a side thought or something to help sustain it. The store quickly became more of the idea than less, but I have other things in the works that will bring in that idea.
Okay.
Later on.
Is that an ellipsis, a to be continued?
That's a to be continued, yeah.
Okay, because my next question was, do you have any plans to expand? You're 5 years in.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to leave it.
we'll leave it there.
Yeah. Do you sell stuff too, or you just manage the store?
No, I do sell stuff.
Okay.
Yeah,
do you have one of the 10x10 slots?
I do have two.
Oh, you have two.
Yeah, and then we also have collective spaces at the store where mm-hmm. we all get to put like clothing that kind of coordinates, and we have this area near our fitting rooms that it's like these little cubbies that one of my vendor's husband built for us when we were first building out the space, and they sort of. We create these little curios of a mix of all of our stuff because we all look and work really well together. So,
do you let everyone set their own prices?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. I have a contract with my vendors mm-hmm. and I have guidelines for them where they don't undercut each other, but they don't undersell themselves. And they're also fair to the customer. Like mm-hmm. we try to be pretty reasonable with our prices and we almost always beat eBay.
Do you make money by selling the vendor spot or off each item?
They pay me rent mm-hmm. for, and then I also take a small amount of commission because rent doesn't really cover the the bills.
Well, we're running out of time. We have about 2 minutes left, but I want to ask you, why do you think art, antiques, things like that, things that you're not going to find at your Target or your Walmart, why does this make a good gift in the holiday season?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, it's definitely lasts longer, mm-hmm. sustainable, more meaningful. I mean, to give a nostalgic gift just feels so much better than something from like the $5 section of Target. I love to gift. In my family, I'm known for giving pretty good gifts, and my brother is one of my favorite people to gift to, and I know he's not going to listen to this because he's in Chicago, so I'm going to just spill the beans. But this year, I got him a pennant with Alcatraz on it. It's from San Francisco, and it's just so kitschy and weird, and he's a millennial. He's 30, and he's going to love it. He's going to freak out when he unwraps that. But yeah, I just love giving unique, mm-hmm. meaningful gifts to the unique people in my life, and I think other people would find that joyful, too.
We've been talking about shopping and holiday gifts with April Rhodes, Little Light Collective's owner and curator. April, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
And this has been Fascinating Ohio from All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. And we've been talking this hour. It's been the Fascinating Ohio Holiday Edition. We talked to three local shops where you can find a thoughtful and unique holiday gift. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich.